Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
In the first lesson, we talked about the fact that there are various stages of our spiritual growth, and one being the childhood stage. And we talked about the fact that it's God's will for us to grow up. He told the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4 that he wanted them to grow up. And these were the same Ephesians that had been filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 19. And then we talked about the fact that he wants us to grow up from the childhood, from the babyhood state to childhood, and then to full maturity. And that spiritual growth doesn't happen overnight. And then our growth is tied to us feeding on the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the spirit, of the word of God, that you may grow thereby. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. It talks about the fact that I leave you with the word of God, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. So it's so important. It's tied to our spiritual growth, the word of God. And then the following week, I remember what I preached about. You think I forget? Then maybe one of these days we'll do a quiz. What did we study 3 weeks ago? Then we talked about the fact that we can divide it again into the carnal man. This, from a spiritual standpoint, the carnal man, the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual person. And then God wants us to keep growing along those lines. And then, I mean, to grow up. And then last week, we talked about knowing God as our Father, really to grow up spiritually as well. You have to know God as your Father. You have to know Jesus. You have to know the Holy Spirit. And we talked about that, and we had a blessed time. And so this morning, again, we'll look at it from another angle. There are so many, there are so many angles you can look at it. But there's no growing in our spiritual walk without growing in love and growing in faith. It's so important. And then growing in our knowledge of the word of God. So let's turn our Bibles this morning to the great love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Glory be to the name of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. I like it in the Amplified Version. Let me read it from the Amplified Version. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, if I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have no love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned, all in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. It's not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude or mannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own right or its own way. For it's not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Let's all say that this morning. Love never fails. Let's all say that, please. Love never fails. Repeat that again, please. Love never fails. Love never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and seized. And as for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. Then he entered in verse 13 and says, this Bible skipped on me. Hold on. Thank you, Lord. It ends in the last verse and says that, and so faith, hope, love abide. Faith, conviction, and belief, expectant man's relation to God and divine things. Hope, joyful, and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Thank you, Lord. He's saying that it's so important. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is sandwiched between 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he talks about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 talks about the fact that concerning spiritual, I do not wish you to be ignorant. Concerning the things of or things pertaining to the Holy Spirit, I don't want you to be ignorant. So, and then he continues in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, towards chapter 12, towards the end, he says, he talks about the fact that I show you a more excellent way. And chapter 12 doesn't just talk about the manifestation or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He talks about other things as well. But when he gets to chapter 13, you have to realize that he's still talking about things pertaining to the Holy Spirit. Then you get to chapter 14, where he takes time to explain tongues and its use. Then when you get to chapter 15, he talks about the second coming of Jesus and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It still pertains to what he started talking about in chapter 12. He's writing a letter. It's just because we divide it in chapters to help us with references. So when he gets to chapter 13, this great love chapter, and earlier on we had discussed the fact that he said that this church in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, he talked about the fact that they excelled, they came behind in no gift. But in chapter 3, he talks about the fact that they were still babies and they needed to grow up. If they had envy and strife and all these things going on, there's some growing up that they needed to do, and they weren't ready for solid food. But chapter 13 is so important because the ideal thing that God wants for us is to have the gift operating in love. God wants us to have both. Not just the gifts without the love, but he wants us to have the gifts in full manifestation as well as the love of God in manifestation. When we have that operating at that level, it's a good combination to have. And oh my Lord, okay. And when he gets to I like it when God does that because I didn't premeditate that one. When you get to chapter 12, the last verse, he talks about the fact that covet earnestly the best gifts. You see, when it comes to spiritual gifts and spiritual manifestation, what you have to realize is he's writing a letter to the church. He didn't write the letter to John Smith alone to desire spiritual gifts. No. He said the church should desire spiritual gift, that there will be a manifestation. You see, as a body, when we desire God to come into manifestation, then he moves. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will never interrupt us. When we desire for him to manifest himself, then he will manifest himself. But the thing is, he wants us to excel in love as well. Have love and then have the gift to go with it. Without love, you see, God is love. The Bible never says that God is faith. He talks about the fact that God is love, and he talks about the fact that the greatest of these, from faith and hope, love is the greatest. Why is love the greatest? You have to realize in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Thank you, Lord. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Notice what he says. Thank you, Lord. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. But faith working through love. So faith rides on the wings of love. Then you remember in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the great faith chapter, he talked about the fact that faith is the substance of things hoped for. So when it comes to faith, hope comes first. And so if faith depends on hope, And your faith depends on love, then by simple line equation, love is the greatest. The math in me is coming out now. Do you get it? The greatest of these is love. Now, we also have to realize that from God, from God's standpoint, What is love? Notice, I like what he says in 2 John verse 6. It's only one chapter. Thank you, Lord. And again, I like it in the Amplified Version. 2 John verse, it's only one chapter, 1 verse 6. Thank you, Lord. Notice what he says. And what this love consists is in this, that we live and walk in accordance with and guided by his commands, his orders, ordinances, precepts, teaching. This is the commandment, as you have heard from the beginning, that you continue to walk in love, guided by it and following it. Walk in love, guided by it and following it. And all these apostles, all these in all these epistles, where did he get it from? He got it from Jesus. Notice what Jesus said in John chapter 13. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 13, verse 35. Glory be to the name of the Lord. John chapter 13, let's start from verse 34. He says, a new commandment, John 13, 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this will all know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. A new commandment, a new commandment, a new commandment. And you have to also realize, notice what Jesus said also. He says they are going to know us by our love. Notice what he says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Thank you, Lord. I take my time to go through these things because these are very important. Mark these scriptures. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All the law and the prophets. All the law and the prophets. Oh, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. All the commandments of the Old Testament, all the thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, the people could not keep those laws. Under the new command, under the new covenant, the only commandment that you have to concern yourself with, that is the standing order. That is the standing command of the day. That is the new commandment. It is all summed up in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. In the military, they have standing orders. Those orders, we have a lot of military folks here. They know it. You don't go past those ones. Those are standing. Notice what he says again. Jesus said, that's a new commandment that I give you. Notice again in Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. This is a debt that you will never pay. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Yes, we don't have to worry about all the thou shalt not. Notice what he says, verse 9. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. If you love your neighbor, you are not going to commit adultery. If you love your neighbor, you are not going to walk in love. You are not going to commit murder. You will not steal from your neighbor. All these things. He says, if there is any other commandment, it is summed up, namely saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So important. That establishes that. That is the command of the day. And it's also one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. When the Apostle Paul was writing in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the first one that he talked about is love. That's the first fruit to show up in our lives. And the thing is, we already have this love. We already have this love. We are not trying to get it. We are not trying to get it. Notice Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. Thank you, Lord. My. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. The love is already in there. He says, then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. I will put a new spirit within them. Take the stony heart out and give them a new one. And he repeats it in similar words in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27. Thank you, Lord. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27. The law is already in there. That's the next point. He says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgment and do them. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you keep my judgment and do them. Notice with a letter to the Hebrews, how he puts it. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. Thank you, Lord. He's referencing that prophecy over there. He says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their heart. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will put that law in their heart. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. I will put the law in their heart, and I will help them to walk in it. I will help them to walk in that law. And the clincher here is that law is already there. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Thank you, Lord. He says, Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love, the same love that God loved the world with, the God kind of love, that love has already been shed abroad in our heart. It's already in our heart. All we have to do is to learn to walk in it. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he gives an expose on the God kind of love. But so many times, what happens is, the law is already in there. God has already put it in our hearts, and he wants us to walk in it. But the issue is, we get into situations where it's sometimes difficult for us to walk in it. But God will help us. Thank you, Lord. I said God will help us. I said God will help us. I said God will help us. Amen. I said God will help us. Amen. I said God will help us. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that response. I like that. It makes me preach better. It means you are paying attention and pulling it out. Thank you, Lord. So the thing is, you see, Jesus said, on all these hang the law and the prophets. When you walk in love, everything, the whole system revolves around that love law. Notice what he said to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 3. Thank you, Lord. Colossians chapter 3. Let's start from verse 10. Let's start from verse 10. And he says something similar to the Ephesians. I like how he repeats it to the different churches. And he says, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Now, when you get to verse 12, he says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, number one, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Notice, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Verse 14. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, which is the bond that is the one that holds the whole thing together. The idea there is, like you have a curtain and you use a rod, another cloth to hold the curtain together. Love, put on love. Notice he said that you do it. And then he says, as Christ forgave you, you also forgive one another. But he's saying that, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You see, what happens is, and this is so important for our spiritual growth, there is no spiritual development without growing in love. What happens is the new man has the love of God in there. The flesh is still the same. The mind is still the same. What needs to happen is for the new man to take over and dominate the mind and dominate the flesh. Again, so that if that doesn't happen, we will remain in the babyhood stage of Christianity. Notice what he says to the Ephesians. Thank you, Lord. I am enjoying this. He said it in similar words to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. From verse 20, 22, thank you, Lord. He says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on, notice again, the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The new man was created. I like that word. Created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Then he keeps writing. And then when he gets down to chapter 31, let's say, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, come on, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He's saying the same thing. And be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's the same thing he was saying to the Colossians. Now, when he gets to verse 5, chapter 5, he's writing a letter again. It's along the same lines. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love. Imitate. Children are supposed to imitate their father. Imitate him and walk in love. And in the same again, Ephesians chapter 4, notice where he talks about, we looked at this earlier in an earlier lesson, Ephesians 4:14, that we should no longer, that verse 13 says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But notice the phrase, but speaking the truth in love. Again, may grow up, may grow up. Love and growing up are tied together. In all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom all the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. There is no spiritual development without growing in love. Thank you, Lord. That was just the introduction. Let's get to the meat now. All right. Let's go back to, I would ask, God will have us see something. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the Amplified again. Glory be to the name of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So from verse 4 to 8, he gives an expose on the God kind of love. One time, and if we all did this, this will solve a lot of issues. Walking in love. At one time, a married couple were having serious issues, almost to the point of divorce. And the pastor who was helping them said, when the two of you, every night, read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 4 to 8 in the Amplified. They did that for, and I'll challenge you as well. You as an individual, if you want God to be real to you and to grow up, set aside some time every day. Read this. The love of God. Notice what he says. Love endures long and is patient and kind. That is the God kind of love. It solved their marriage issue. Love is never envious, nor boasts over with jealousy. It's not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. Sometimes people endure long, but they are not kind while they endure it. I've put up with this so long, I cannot put up with it again. Think about it. God is patient and has to endure long with you and I. If you woke up one day and said, I've tried, I've done all my best, I give up, what will happen to all of us? Think about it. These kids are too stubborn. I keep telling them, they don't get it. I just give up. I won't love them anymore. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious nor boasts over with jealousy. It's not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude or maligny and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own right or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not selfish. Human love is selfish. Selfishness governs the world. Everyone seeking his own way. Everyone seeking his own right. That is the issue in our society. That is the issue in the world. That God kind of love is missing. Love does not seek its own way, does it not insist on its own right. It is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. God, that kind of love, God's love, if he had counted our sins against us, or counts our sins against us, where would we be? Thank you, Lord. It doesn't keep account of a suffered wrong. One time, a minister, he had just took over a church, and he said that he just went out of town for a week, and when he came back, one of the parishioners or the members told him that, I'll tell you something. This person has done this against me, and I want to forgive them, but I won't forgive them. and then he asked, what was the issue? And she said, how long did it happen? She said, let me count on my fingers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And he said, I thought because I had gone away for a week, they had just gotten into a disagreement, and it may be just been a week. This person said, this thing happened 8 years ago, but I will not forgive them. They did me wrong. And he said, the look on my face 8 years ago, he said, I was so shocked. And he said, no. When he saw the look on my face, the person said, well, I've forgiven them all right, but I'll never forget what they did to me. I still have that in her. I'll never. Well, then this person said, you are a barefaced liar. Anyone who forgives and forgives completely, you will forget about it. Is it easy? No. It's difficult sometimes, but God will help us to walk in that kind of love. It keeps no record, no account of the evil done to it. This will solve a lot of issues for us in homes, in relationships, in different places, in every area of our life. Verse 6 says, it does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the worst of every person. That's not what the Bible says. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person. God believes the best of you. You have to do the same. You believe the best of the other person. You believe the best of them. You believe the best. God believes that you are his child. You have his nature. You want to do the will of God. You will obey him and serve him and fulfill all that he has for your life. Believes the best of every person. Believes the best of every person. Thank you, Lord. And then, and also, We have to learn to let that love of God dominate us. No matter what comes up against us, he says, love never fails. Love never fails. If there is any failure anywhere, trace it back anywhere. It will come back to that love law. When we walk in love, failure, we will not fail. And from this morning, as we make a decision that we will love God and love our neighbor and walk in the God kind of love, in the mighty name of Jesus, I see you excelling. If you believe that, say amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Let's go again to Mark chapter 11. Love never fails. If there's failure somewhere, it has to be in relation to that. So we all have to be cautious in that area. Notice what he says in Mark chapter 11, the great faith chapter. Thank you. The Jesus expose on faith. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Thank you, Lord. He says, but assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. We all like those verses. But in the same breath, verse 25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. And if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. In all this that he talks about getting results in our lives, getting mountains moved, getting answers to our prayer, the only hindrance that he talked about that will cause failure in this area is, when you start praying, forgive. When you don't forgive, God wants to forgive you. He said, imitate your Father and forgive like the way your Father does. It will hinder your faith. No wonder he said faith works through love. It will hinder your faith from working. It will hinder you from receiving answers to your prayers. The only sin that the believer commits is when we step out of love. It's so important. And when we do that, we get into an area where the enemy can take advantage of us. And like you said, our bond is at that point not together again. Thank you, Lord. Notice what he says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. He says that we know that we have passed from death to life. I like that. We know. That's positive. No, we are not sure. We have passed from death to life. Why? Because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. How do we know that we are born again? How do we know that we have passed from death to life? Because we love. That is the first fruit that shows up in the life of the believer. He who does not love his brother abides in death. And whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. One time, a minister was ministering along these lines. And he quoted this verse. And he said, somehow, I said, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And that also includes your mother-in-law. If you hate your mother-in-law, you are a murderer. When he finished the service, a woman came up to him and said, I hate my mother-in-law. Well, he said, I don't care. If you hate your mother-in-law, according to the Bible, you are a murderer. I said, no, I'm not a murderer. I grew up in a parsonage. My parents were ministers. I went to the best Bible school in this nation. The minister said, I don't care who you are. If you hate your mother-in-law, you are a murderer. She said, at that point, I realized that I almost had this person hanged on the rope, so I had to let her off. You see, the love, notice what he says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. As soon as you step out of love, you step into darkness. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And darkness stands for everything that the devil stands for. As soon as you step out of love, you step into darkness, into an area where the enemy can attack you and cause issues in your life. When this person realized what they had done, they said, "No, I think you are right. I don't hate my mother-in-law. These are nice people. They are good people. I will treat them with the God kind of love." So she went and invited them over to dinner. And when they came, she was very nice. She said, "These people are wonderful people." But what had happened is, and they left. What had happened is, her child had a severe case of epilepsy. And she wanted this minister to come and pray for the child. And the minister said, "Normally, he was an itinerary minister, so that normally we don't do that, but God said go," so they went. Now, when they got there, on the way, while they were going, this is so important. This is the key to living healthy and living and long and fulfilling what God has for us. On the way, God said to the minister, "When you go to the house, don't pray for the child. Say to the mother, under the old covenant," he said this was revelation to me, "under the old covenant, I told the children of Israel that if you keep my statutes and my commandment, I would take sickness away from the midst of you." In the new covenant, our new covenant is that covenant of love. So when you step back into the covenant of love, just say to the mother, point to the child, and say, "Devil, I am walking in love. Take your hands off of my child." By stepping out of love, that she had entered into darkness and opened the door. The mother, when the minister said that to her, did not hesitate at all. Said, "Devil, in the mighty name of Jesus, I am walking in love. Take your hands off of my child." The epilepsy ceased instantly, to the glory of God. And the child was made completely whole. And he said after, the devil tried to put it back on her at some point. But every time he tried, for a couple of times, I said, no, I'm walking in love. I'm walking in the light. Darkness is not allowed here." And that was the end of that bout. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's so important for all of us to walk in the God kind of love. God will be more real to us. And the thing is, we don't get there overnight. He talks about be made perfect in love. I don't know anyone who is made it there yet. Maybe it's me. Notice what he says. No, I'm not there yet. I'm still working on it. I'm a work in progress. But notice what he says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. "And we have known and believed." You have to believe the Lord that God has for us. God is love. Let's all say that this morning. God is love. Repeat it loudly one more time. God is love. Repeat it again, please. God is love. "And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." You have entered the realm of God. Love has been perfected among us that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. It didn't say fear torment. Fear has torment. If you are being tormented in any area of your life, check that love area. We love him because he first loved us. We have boldness as he is. As he is love, so we are made in his image and likeness. So are we in this world to reflect his love and to share his love and to love each other and forgive and love other people with the same kind of love that he loved us with. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But the thing is, we have to believe in that love. We have to believe that love is greater than hatred. We have to believe that love is greater than selfishness. Oh, and love loves to give. Even our giving without love is not profitable. One time, we had closed church. And we were going out. And then we had talked to a couple before. And when we were going, when we headed out, God just prompted us in our hearts that to give a certain amount of money to these people. So we turned around. We already headed home. We turned around, and then we gave the amount of money to them. And when we gave it to them, later on they said that they had run out of money for utility, and they were going to shut their utilities off. And that is the exact amount of money they needed to come out of that temporary circumstances. When we are to the glory of God, we just enjoy doing that. But you see, but when love and when we love each other, another writer calls it the new kind of selfishness. We are trying to outgive each other. It's just Lord. That is the kind of love that wants to bless us. That is the kind of love that God has and wants to help us with that love. But He also wants us to walk in that love. That is the same love that Jesus exhibited. Oh, in John chapter 11, at the tomb of Lazarus. Oh, Lazarus had been dead. When he heard about it before, he says that Jesus loved Lazarus. Oh, but the love drove Jesus to the tomb of Lazarus, and love will override death. How worse can it get for somebody to be dead and gone for 4 days? They said, Jesus, please don't embarrass us. By now, his body stinks. His body has started to decay. Oh, I look in my imagination, and I see love standing at the tomb of Lazarus and saying, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, Lazarus. This morning, I don't know which area of your life may have decadence. It has not gone past that. Which area of your life may seem impossible, but believe in the love of God that He will step in and turn it around. I see Him turning it around. I see Him turning it around. Love will go the very limit for us. It went the very limit for us in the mighty name of Jesus. As we walk in love and walk in that God kind of love, in Jesus' mighty name, that situation may look like shame, may look like it stinks very bad, but to Jesus, but to love, He will turn it around. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Learn to let the love of God dominate us. Take us over. Believe. He that abides in love abides in God. Is there sickness in that area? No. Is there defeat in that area? No. Is there a lack of peace in that area? No. Is there a lack of joy in that area? No. Practice that love. Confess that love to God. And to others, and to the people, we confess the love, and then we practice it. It's like faith. That's how it grows. You talk, you speak it out of your mouth, and then you walk in it. Think about Joseph. Think about him. Through slavery, he had endured a lot. When he saw his brothers, he said, "Don't." If it had been anybody, if he wasn't spiritually matured, what you people look at what you did to me. Look at all these years, the hardship that I've endured. I was put into prison. I was falsely accused, all because of you people. Get out of my sight. I don't want to see you. But no, such magnanimity of soul, God sent me ahead to preserve life, is what He said. That is spiritual maturity. That is spiritual growth. He knows that it's just leave it. And let it drop. It will solve a lot of problems for us. It will solve the financial issue. It will solve the marriage issue. It solve the child issue. It will solve the issue at work. It will solve so many issues. Walking in love, the God kind of love, and don't give up. You don't get there overnight. No one is made perfect yet, but some of us are headed in that direction. Hallelujah! Does this help you? Does it help all of us this morning? Walking in love, abiding in love. He says, on this hang all the law, on this hung all the law and the prophets. It hangs on there. It hung everything right on that commandment of love. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's all say this together this morning. Lord, thank you that your love has been shared abroad in my heart. Help me to walk in the God kind of love. Help me to excel. From today, failure is not my portion, because love never fails. I will not fail. I will not fail, because I choose to walk in the God kind of love. I will not fail in my family life. I will not fail in my career. I will not fail in my business. I will not fail in any area of my life. I will excel. I will succeed. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, that you will help me. That you will help me. I am a success. I excel. In Jesus' mighty name, give him praise and glory. 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 He give him praise and glory. Give him praise and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, let's rise to our feet. Give him praise and glory. Give him praise and glory. Thank you, Lord. Make a fresh commitment to walk in the God kind of love. It's not touchy, it's not fretful, it's not resentful, takes no account of a evil done to it. Endures long, is patient, and is kind. Oh, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, a new commandment I give you. Thank you, Lord. He that abides in love abides in God. Oh, love alone and love others as well. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord this morning. Make a fresh commitment to the commandment of love. Lord, I commit to this commandment of love. Help me to walk in it in the mighty name of Jesus. Tender-hearted, not hard-hearted. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. Father, we give you praise and glory. Lord, you will be more real to each and every one of us. In the mighty name of Jesus. God, you will be more real to us than you were before. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. That we will grow to maturity, unto a perfect man, unto the stature of the fullness of Christ. Thank you, Lord. That we will not walk in darkness, but we will walk in the light. And in that light, as we walk in divine health, in that light, oh, there is no failure. In that light, we keep going from glory to glory. Thank you, Lord. And I mean, God is saying to someone this morning, it hurts, it's painful. They did you wrong. But God is saying this morning to you, let it drop. Let me take care of it. Let me take care of it. Let me take care of it. And it will all turn out right. It will all work out right. Say of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. your very best in our lives. We love you because you first love us. And we extend that same love to others. We extend that same love in our community. In the name of Jesus, may God bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine on you. May every failure be turned to a success. In the mighty name of Jesus, may you go from strength to strength. May you go from glory to glory. May he turn your life around in the mighty name of Jesus and help you to fulfill all that he has for you in this season. In the month of July, may you see his goodness. All the rest of the month of this year, may you experience his very best. In the name of Jesus. His face to shine on you. May he give you his peace. May he give you his shalom. Peace on every side. Rest on every side. In Jesus' mighty name. You are blessed and you are a blessing. 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 You are blessed of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And you are a blessing in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Say aloud amen. Say aloud amen. Say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. I believe in your love. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.